This is Radio Boston. I'm Callum Borchers. Federal agents, some with SWAT team training, are now working with Boston immigration officials. It's a story that's been developing over the weekend, and our reporter, Shannon Dooling, has been following all of the action. She joins us now in Studio 3. Hey there, Shannon.
Hi, Callum.
So the Times broke a version of this story on Friday, and then you've been following it since then. Can you explain what exactly is going on? I mean, who are these new agents who are in our city? How many of them are here? What are they doing?
Yeah, there are still a lot of questions, and we'll start with that. But we know that there are already here in Boston, that we do have some of these SWAT team trained border agents here in Boston. According to the New York Times, there are about 100 or so being deployed around the country into a number of different cities, but I've not yet been able to confirm how many are actually working here in Boston. And I mean, the nature of their mission here and across the country is essentially to back up ICE's deportation officers who are in charge of bringing individuals into custody for immigration violations. The acting director of ICE, Matthew Albence, says that these specialists are being tapped to help make these arrests in the interior of the country to, quote, supplement enforcement activity in response to the resource challenges stemming from sanctuary city policies.
Huh. But the skill set you're describing, these sort of SWAT training, conjures like a scene from Breaking Bad or something,
yeah,
right? Like along
yeah.
the border. So why are they here in Boston?
Well, I mean, what I'm told is that as sanctuary city policies have sort of ramped up across the country, including here in Boston, the logic goes that it's harder for ICE officials to make arrests in places like courtrooms and police stations. And so what they're being faced with is going into communities and essentially knocking on more doors to try to make arrests than maybe what they were accustomed to doing before the Trump administration, during the Trump administration. And so basically, you know, it's part of a plan, a federal immigration plan, to deploy these specially trained border agents to cities across the country. So Boston, San Francisco, Houston. And of course, it is this broader effort by the Trump administration to crack down on sanctuary cities. We've heard this from him in the past, that we have a real sore spot in Trump's side, really, with sanctuary city policies. And it's where local law enforcement essentially purposefully limit their cooperation with ICE.
So what is ICE saying then about what the need is in these sanctuary cities? I mean, we have this
right.
Trust Act in Boston,
right.
for example. Are they pointing at that?
Right. Exactly. I mean, that would be our sanctuary city policy, essentially. So here in Boston, we Mayor Walsh just passed a stronger Trust Act at the end of the year in 2019. It limits the amount of interaction and cooperation between Boston police and ICE. And so things like the only reason they should be communicating essentially are about individuals who are wanted for, as Walsh would say, serious crimes, violent felonies, organized gang behavior.
And it's worth noting this is not just a policy decision, right? I mean, the state's highest court here in Massachusetts has said that local law enforcement can't enforce these ICE detainers, as they're called, right? Can you explain that? I mean, what is a detainer and what are local police allowed or not allowed to do?
Right. So that's right. In 2017, the SJC exactly stated that there's no statutory authority here in Massachusetts for local law enforcement or court officers to honor these ICE detainers. An ICE detainer is a request. It's an administrative warrant, not a criminal warrant, from ICE asking local officials to hold someone in custody who otherwise is free to go. And so that might be because they've paid bail. It might be because charges have been dropped. It might be because they completed a sentence, a criminal sentence, and they're now free to leave.
So ICE would ask as like a courtesy, hey,
exactly.
would you hold on to this
person? Give us a heads
person?
Up. Hold on to this person for up to 48 hours. We think they might have immigration violations.
And the court says police can't do that.
The court says the police and court officials, whether it's a judge or a bail magistrate, can't do that. And so you combine the sanctuary city policies in towns and cities across the state, and you combine that with the SJC's decision about ICE detainers, and ICE is saying, look, all of a sudden, we can't take someone into custody in the safety of a controlled setting like a court or a police station. And so we're having to make more arrests in the communities. We need some backup. These special agents and officers from Customs and Border Protection are here to help with more arrests.
I see. So what's the concern then? I mean, is there a public safety threat here?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so ICE seems to be saying we don't get this assistance from local police anymore. We
right.
need more bodies on the ground. But so do we know who these SWAT-trained agents are targeting?
Right. We don't know specifically. You know, it could be, according to ICE, yes, the answer is that there is an actual safety threat, a public safety threat in the community. And this is why we're having to up the ante, so to speak. You know, we heard from ICE's acting director that sanctuary policies are allowing criminals to be released back into the streets. And, you know, that makes things more unsafe when we're seeing, you know, when there's, according to ICE, seeing more arrests being made of criminals in communities. It's interesting because also on Friday in a separate release, so we hear from the federal folks in D.C., the head of the acting head of ICE, the acting head of Customs and Border Protection. But on Friday, we also in a separate release heard from our own head of what's called Enforcement and Removal Operations here in Boston, the Boston area of responsibility, which is actually all of New England. We heard from him. His name is Todd Lyons. And in a release, he said that, you know, look, we're going to start highlighting these, quote, what the release refers to as immigration fugitives. And the reason why we're going to start broadcasting these people's information and photos in public press releases is because these are the types of examples of people who are being let free because of ICE detainers, because people aren't honoring ICE detainers. Law enforcement isn't honoring ICE detainers here in Massachusetts. And so in that laundry list of individuals, he names five people and lists things, sort of criminal charges. Now, it's very important to know, Cal, that these are charges in many cases, not convictions. Very different. And so some of the charges that these immigration fugitives are wanted on or have in their history are things like assault, rape, multiple driving under the influence charges. Again, not convictions. So these essentially could be the types of examples that ICE is saying, okay, we used to be able to pick this person up at the police station. Now they're not honoring these requests. That person who was charged with assault and battery is let back out into the community. Now we have to go face that person who has these charges, maybe not a conviction, but has been charged with this. We're going to get some backup from people who are accustomed to sort of using more authority and more tactical SWAT-like team entrances into places. Of course, immigrant advocates, I know we'll talk to one later on in the show, and community members worry that, you know, non-convicted criminals, even charged criminals, might get caught up in these arrests. So there's a bit of there's a lot of confusion, and I think, you know, a lot of questions still need to be answered.
Sure, and not everybody is convinced as ICE lays out its explanation, including the mayor. We mentioned at the top that Boston Mayor Marty Walsh isn't thrilled with this move. Here's what he had to say over the weekend.
I quite don't understand why you would take somebody from the southern border if you're so concerned about immigration into the country, take agents off the southern border and put them into selected cities around the United States of America. I don't quite understand that rationale at all.
We've also heard from Senators Elizabeth Warren and Ed Markey over the weekend. They both wrote to federal immigration officials saying that the agency should withdraw this plan. And one other voice chiming in as well was Congressman Joe Kennedy. He says that this type of move might actually decrease public safety.
Because people feel not as comfortable engaging with law enforcement if you are victims or are witnesses to a crime. It means scaring people forward as the census starts to get up and running and we need people to stand out and get counted.
So, Shannon Dooling, stick with me on this. I want to develop that idea about public safety a little bit more. But as we do, I want to bring in another voice. We're joined now by Ava Malona. She's the executive director of the Massachusetts Immigrant and Refugee Advocacy Coalition, also known as MIRA. Ava, hello. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for your time. Real quick, can we just get your reaction to what we know so far about the presence of these new agents in our city?
So first, let me say that, you know, what Shannon just pointed out, there are so many unanswered questions about what's happening and the accuracy of this policy. One thing that it's very clear is that Massachusetts and our cities are following the law and the Constitution. The highest court in our state ruled in 2017 that, you know, people cannot be arbitrarily detained. Nothing prevents immigration enforcement if they show with a judicial warrant to arrest someone who is charged for crime. So in our view, this is extremely disturbing. I mean, terrorizing the communities, intimidating cities, scaring the immigrant families for political points, it's a very dangerous tactic. And we see this as part of a series of a political stunt that it's happening in many states and many cities.
Well, Ava, as you say, it could be dangerous. Can you just be precise about what exactly the fear is there? I mean, is it excessive force?
Is,
what are you worried about?
Given the inflammatory, first of all, Given the inflammatory rhetoric about immigrants and refugees, people have been through trauma for the last couple of years, and this adds to the fears of people coming forward, A, contacting the police, B, appearing to courts or getting access to courts, and this is really also concerning about collateral damage for individuals who have no conviction, who have no trouble with the law, people who are mixed status household families or victims of domestic violence who are afraid to call 911. So the collateral damage is really very a dangerous tactic. Now, I mean, a concern for us. So we see this as a very dangerous tactic undermining the safety of our communities. We live here. We know that we are safe because of the work that has been done for building strong trust and strong relationship between the community police, between the community and the police. And such tactics really being politicized are really not making us safe and not protecting anyone.
If I'm hearing you right, Ava, that public safety concern is that perhaps if you intimidate immigrant communities in this way, they might be less likely to cooperate with law enforcement, and that might allow other crimes to go on.
Deeply underground, and this issue of enforcement has been extremely politicized, and this really impacts the safety of all of us. Massachusetts, about 69 or 70 municipalities across our state have come up with trust acts for the reason to make their communities safer. And coming up with such policies, it's deeply, deeply concerning. And we're working, MIRA's working closely with the New England AILA and other partners and members to make sure that we do have the accurate information for our community. Traditionally, we reached out to ICE and to CBP to make sure we have the accurate information, and we will do that again. But it's really troubling that, A, you know, the rumors and fears take the life of their own. So we want to make sure the community have the information that they need. There is accurate information being distributed, but the politicization of this issue is very, very troubling for all of us.
That's Ava Malona. She's the executive director of the Massachusetts Immigrant and Refugee Advocacy Coalition, also known as MIRA. Ava, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
So, Shannon, just as we pick up on Ava's thought there, you know, the counter, of course, from ICE officials to her public safety worry is that, you know, we're going to be going after dangerous criminals and trying to get them up off the streets. And if I'm hearing Ava properly, she and her group are concerned that it won't be confined to just those most dangerous criminals, that there will be spillover to sort of run-of-the-mill immigration enforcement. So in the moments we have left, I mean, is that what comes next now? Is just that monitoring from your perspective? How is this actually deployed?
Right. I mean, I think that that's clearly something we're going to be watching is how is it deployed? What are the ripple effects of this, both sort of real effects in terms of numbers of arrests and things like that, quantifiable effects, and also the sort of hidden effects. Do people start keeping their children home from school? Do people miss work because they're afraid to drive or leave their homes? So we'll be in touch with immigrant communities and with federal officials to see how this plan is working out here in Boston.
All right. Keep following Shannon Dooling's reporting for all of those follow-ups. Shannon, thank you so much for your time
today.
You're
welcome.